Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're making sense of training camp hype on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up, Roto-Viz?
Welcome into the Roto-Viz Fantasy Football Podcast. It's a great night as we record here. On Tuesday, Tuesday evening, Curtis, for multiple reasons. One, Curtis is back. He was at the FF Expo, so we're going to get a breakdown of that. But more importantly, this guy is looking dapper. He's got the pocket square matching the shirt, a two-tone matchup here with some black and white in the shirt, black collar, white shirt with what looked to be some dots. I mean, he's looking ready to go.
Yeah, man, it's been a full day, Dave. So I'm glad to be back. I went straight from the hospital to back to school night with the kiddos. My youngest is now going to kindergarten. I was there till like 8:20 tonight, and then I flew in hot to start recording this episode with you. So I'm still wearing my day get up here or whatever. But yeah, I mean, we're just classing up the show for the first mutual episode of the week. That's great. As you mentioned, I did go to the Fantasy Football Expo in Canton, Ohio over the weekend, and man, what a time. You know, this thing's really grown over the last, you know, handful of years, and I got to hand it to Bob Lung. You know, Bob Lung, he started this thing as, you know, basically a small fantasy get together for people in the Midwest 4 years ago. And this thing's like huge now. I mean, we almost had 1,000 people there from all over the country. I mean, Colm Kelly flew over from Ireland for this thing. Got to meet him in the flesh, which was really cool. Got to meet Zach Kruger in the flesh this weekend. Saw a bunch of Roto-Viz alum, you know, such as Sam Wallace and Rich Rebar, Matthew Friedman, you know, a lot of, you know, friends of well, in Matthew's case, you know, long-term host of this pod that we're doing.
That's right.
But just saw so many people, and they added so much extra intrigue to the weekend. Roto-Viz actually entered a team in the flag football tournament. You know, we made the semifinals. We had an unfortunate injury, actually. So Ray Garvin of Destination Devi, friend of the pod, big time college football guy. He was going to be our slot man / yak extraordinaire. Pops his Achilles the first play offensive play. Ray, no. I mean, and if you've ever seen, most of you listening have probably seen one of Ray's videos floating around the Twitterverse. I mean, the guy's absolutely jacked. You know, he's a former college football player himself. Yep. Looks like he could absolutely strap it up, put the pads on and go even at 36 years old. And, you know, man, it, just what a warrior, man. Pops his Achilles, walks off on his own power, just goes to the hospital, gets the testing. It's crazy. So, but we had some fire kits that we wore. And, you know, I think we did well in the first year, despite only getting 4 plays per game to touch the ball. It's kind of a weird, you know. Yeah, it was almost like for those of you that have played baseball, you know, when you go to extra innings in Little League or, you know, Babe Ruth or, you know, Pony League, whatever you call it in your state, and you go to Texas Shootout where you kind of start with a full count. It's kind of that idea. They were trying to move all these games along, probably to limit injuries and also keep people from having to watch all of this probably horribly non-entertaining flag football that was going on. But man, you know, it all comes back to, you know, Bob just delivering on his vision. And I think it's just so inspiring, you know, when people set out to do something and it comes to be. And, you know, Bob has absolutely done that with the Fantasy Football Expo. And so yeah, Dave, I mean, I got to know Bob pretty well the last couple of years and watch this thing evolve, and just grateful to him, you know, putting together such an awesome chance to network and hang and catch up with so many of, you know, my old friends and new friends after this weekend in the fantasy community. We did, by the way, also, of course, do the Kings Classic drafts. And man, I felt pretty good. I left both the auction and the snake with Jonathan Taylor. so, I mean, that feels great. Also had overlap of George Kittle on both of those squads. And so was able to get, you know, a guy that you and I are pretty in on. But man, Lady Fortune just smiling upon me. I was able to bring home Taylor at my target cost in the auction, and then drew the Ace of Hearts, which allowed me to pick my draft spot in the, you know, uber competitive 14 team setup. And obviously I'm going to pick the 101 and go Jonathan Taylor there. Nice. With no third round reversal. So we will have to see, hoping to bring home a third title in the Kings Classic for Team RotoViz. It would be a back-to-back for me as I won last year. So Dave, you know, we want to talk training camp hype. And before we do that, we got to hit our FFPC stat attack. Okay, Dave, this will actually relate probably to our second question that we want to cut up in today's episode around interesting training camp battles. And so I will leave you hanging, but here is the intro to that question. Wide receiver Cole Beasley, formerly of the Buffalo Bills, in each of the last three seasons finished wide receiver 38 or better in terms of expected fantasy points per game, peaking at wide receiver 31 in expected points per game in 2020. He scored at least 159 PPR in each of the last three seasons, even compiling 207 PPR in 2020. But Cole Beasley is not wearing Bills blue anymore, and there's an interesting training camp battle for that slot work. We will get to that later in the episode. All of these stats pulled from the RotoViz NFL Stat Explorer, and the segment brought to you, of course, by our friends at myffpc.com, the home of high-stakes redraft, high-stakes dynasty, including our RotoViz Triflex Dynasty League setup, the best way to play dynasty anywhere on the interwebs. And then, of course, you know, after the last couple of years, now a home for best ball tournaments as well, including this year's Superflex tournament, which that was so good they actually had to open up a second opportunity to play. So you can figure out which game is right for you to play. Just go to myffpc.com and look around the lobby.
All right. So, Curtis, you alluded to it. We're going to talk about a lot of hype coming out of training camp, some training camp battles, what have you. Where do you want to start?
Let's talk about some of these hype guys, Dave. I know there's two in particular that you wanted to get to in this episode, and then I'll run down what I think are maybe three or four of the interesting under-the-radar camp battles after we talk about these two big guys.
Yeah, for sure. So it is in full steam right now, the Isaiah Pacheco hype train. In the Kansas City backfield, this high-powered offense, you've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire there. You had Ronald Jones. You have some beat reporters worried that Jones might not even make the 53-man roster. And you have the rookie now, Isaiah Pacheco, in addition to Jerick McKinnon. So I wanted to talk a little bit about this. There are a couple different ways that you could expect things to go here. Now, generally, I tend to try and not to react too strongly to any news coming out of the preseason, out of training camps. I thought it was worth, though, revisiting Pacheco here and his profile quickly. So if you go into the RotoViz Workout Explorer, you're going to see the dude is fast, right? 4.37 40 at 216 pounds. That's a 118 speed score. The only other drill that he participated in was the vertical jump. Did not record a very strong score there. Played 4 years at Rutgers. Finished at 22.8. Some things, though, in the profile, Curtis, that people aren't going to like. You know, only had one season with a running back dominator higher than 40%. Just 559 total rushing attempts. His highest total for yardage was 735. That came in his sophomore season. Also recorded his highest total of 7 rushing touchdowns that year in 11 games. And had a career yards per carry of 4.37. Now, normally when we talk about yards per carry for running backs in the NFL context, we don't really care. As we know, it's largely tied to teams and we just care about players scoring fantasy points. But in a case like this, for a college back, that is a very, very low total. Highest receptions in his career were 19. And that came in 2020, his junior year. Has a round 7 draft capital assigned to him. As a result, you're not going to get a lot of exciting comps for him. It's kind of a hard profile to make sense of here. So when we start hearing hype about this guy and how good he is in pass protection and the team is going to start to work him in, I'm hesitant to really buy into this hype. At what point do you think, though, that somebody needs to start to adjust and throw away some of their priors and start to take a guy like this seriously?
Well, I mean, you have to kind of define seriously. You know, if he's going to go on the radar, you know, maybe in the early to mid-teen rounds of drafts, kind of replacing where Ronald Jones is going, as it looks like he's falling a little bit out of favor. Okay. I mean, that's fine. I mean, we're taking swings at potential upside team situations in those scenarios anyway. I mean, basically all the backs that go in those areas are backs that either don't have defined roles, or if they do have a defined role, it's probably not with a pass catching profile. Otherwise it'd be a little higher up in that range where, you know, Sean Siegel every year is pounding his chest for us to draft those, you know, high end ZRB targets. And, you know, so if Pacheco is going to go below those guys, you know, if he's going to go below the Tony Pollards, below the Melvin Gordons, you know, the guys that actually will have defined roles and had, you know, good, either, you know, a good college football production profile and some level of NFL draft pedigree or a prior history of NFL success, I wouldn't have a problem with it. Where I have a problem with it is is seeing Pacheco go in the 5th round of a main event draft today.
Yes.
The 5th round. Okay.
I mean, like, best case scenario.
There's got to be a middle ground here.
Yeah.
Like, thinking about what it would even look like. I mean, even if he were to get the type of role, like the max role that Clyde Edwards-Helaire has had in any of his seasons in the NFL, we're talking about a back that, you know, in CEH's case, that still has yet to score 200 PPR in a season because of either A, availability, or B, failing to realize enough of a role consolidation in Andy Reid's offense, the way that they run things, the way that they split up the touches. We haven't achieved a bankable weekly role.
Yeah.
I mean, other than like that short period of time where Darrell Williams was lock stock, I mean, that's basically all we've seen in the last couple of years. So I just don't get it. Like, to go all in on Pacheco as the guy that would break the mold versus some of the other players that Reed's had access to in his time in KC just doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. You just got to be careful. I mean, if you're an underdog where, you know, you can still get him a little bit cheaper, that's fine. I do recognize that the high stakes drafters at FFPC are amongst the boldest that you will find anywhere in fantasy. And it's where some of the biggest sharps anywhere that you will find are playing. So, you know, that just feels like beyond a conviction play to me to take him in the 5th or 6th round in a $1,900 draft. So I will never say never on these guys, but there are very limited examples, you know, of these round six, round seven, and UDFA profile players really sticking for an entire season and being a fantasy difference maker. So it has happened in NFL history. It's not likely. And I do think, despite his athleticism, it's unlikely that he would usurp Jerick McKinnon, who actually has very similar athleticism and has already proven these things in Kansas City in the playoffs when it really mattered last year.
Yep.
Or CEH, who, you know, again, the team did invest first round draft capital in and seems, you know, kind of hell bent on him reprising the 1A role. So I don't know. It feels like we're a little ahead of ourselves here, but I also understand that people will always, you know, see what sticks when they think they have a potential discount RB1.
Right. So the couple of thoughts that I had here, I completely agree with the first thing that you said, was we have to define seriously. If people are going after him towards the end of a draft, I am 100% fine with that. I think that makes sense. Where I started to have an issue with it was when people were starting to put him into a range where he looks like a back that has a defined role, and not just a defined role, but a strong defined role. I mean, this is a, as you said, fifth round in the main event. Like, even if, let's think about it like this. If the Chiefs had drafted somebody like Kenneth Walker, would our instant reaction have been that we're going to start taking this guy in the fifth round? Then you think about the fact that Kenneth Walker was a guy that was going, you know, with a valuation of maybe like a round two type of back, had a lot more meat on that profile. So, you know, I think about it through that context. And then also, if you take another step back right now, I'm always leery when people talk about a player being good in pass protection and that translates to them getting on the field. Because that doesn't necessarily translate to fantasy points, right? That could translate to you taking on a role that might not be the type of efficiency that you need in the context of the Chiefs offense to deliver, you know, on an early round draft pick.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, man, I'm searching through some of our tools trying to find, you know, the positives in the prospect box score scout, and it's a struggle, man. It's a struggle. You know, I guess you could try to hang your hat on the athleticism, but I know that, you know, the team context of playing for Rutgers, where you don't have a lot of help, and, you know, might be running back can't do it all himself, and, you know, some of those same things that applied to Damian Pierce for Pete, you know, he's another guy that he's not on the schedule to talk about tonight, but maybe in a future episode we should. You know, some of the same excuses that you might make for Pierce, I guess, are excuses you could make for Pacheco, but we didn't get nearly the draft capital, and it's also a lot, you know, steeper hill to climb. You know, when you're looking at Pierce, you got to usurp, you know, old busted rehabilitated Marlon Mack, and then Rex Burkhead, who is basically like a community figurehead and not a legitimate running back at this point, versus Pacheco having to usurp Jerick McKinnon, who was a NFL playoffs hero last season and a former first round pick. Like, it's just a lot, you know, it's quite a few Swiss cheese holes to line up for things to really work out for him. And man, I'm five pages deep. Five pages deep is actually as deep as I can go in the RotoViz prospect box score scout Sims tool. And I haven't found a single player that I'm excited about that was ever fantasy relevant that comes up. Actually, I take it back. We have Orleans Darkwa. Who was a waiver wire hero that never really materialized into anything. Yep. That might be the most, I'm going back through here again. We have Keyshawn Vaughn on page three.
I was going to say, you know, it's similar to Keyshawn Vaughn, right? That four-year type of role, did some things late, had some production early on, never really fully came together.
I'm looking, man. Like, those are actually the best two names in the top 50 Sims for Pacheco.
Yep.
So, you know, even absent the team context of having a difficult situation to find a role consolidation, you know, there's just not a lot of history of guys with this type of profile from a production and draft capital is also included. It's one of the metrics used in the prospect box score scout. We're looking at athleticism, production in the context of draft position. So there's a couple different things layered on here and not looking good from that perspective. I'm sure we can find some examples of players this athletic that have, you know, become, you know, fantasy producers at the NFL when you're talking about guys, you know, 90th percentile and above and speed score and 40 time, you know, that obviously goes with the territory. So we will advocate for investing in Pacheco when, you know, he's available. I don't know, Dave. After round 10,
I might even push it back.
If you want to be real aggressive, and for me, given who's available at current ADP and where they're available, it's probably more of around 12 and later situation for me, because I'd like to really hit that quarterback two or that tight end two in rounds 10, 11, 12. So when he's available later than that, that's fine. It might just mean that I don't have much Pacheco exposure at all until we have more clarity around the situation.
Yeah. The other thing would be too, is if you're super interested in him, it's possible that training camp moves along, the hype kind of slows down, and then you get him a couple of rounds later. We'll have to see. Yeah. The other player that I wanted to talk with you about, Curtis, is Romeo. Do we know if it's Dubs or Dubs? I have to admit that I'm not 100% sure here.
I think it's Dubs.
That's what I thought. All right. Romeo Dubs. Okay. Wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers, coming out of Nevada with a breakout age of 19.7, was taken in the fourth round, 201 pounds, 6'1". His best season came in 2021 with 1,090 receiving yards, 13.8 yards per reception, 10 receiving touchdowns, receiving dominator of 0.31. Prior to that, he also did have a pretty solid season, you could say, in 2020 at the age of 20.7, 985 receiving yards across 9 games, 8 receiving touchdowns, 17.6 receiving yards per reception, and a receiving dominator of 0.33. We do not have any athletic measurables that we can point to here. So we have a player, fourth round valuation, okay college stats out of a school like Nevada, but he lands in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, who historically has not wanted to involve the youngsters at wide receiver, just talking glowingly about him, and now we're seeing drafters respond. This is another one where I don't know that I'm going to buy into the hype, but I will give you an opportunity to see if you think otherwise.
Yeah, this one's pretty interesting. There's plenty of opportunity in Green Bay. You know, the vacated targets are at pretty much, you know, max potential. I'm very much on record as saying that Alan Lazard is, you know, one of the best if not the best values in fantasy football for 2020. And that's based off of
2022, you know,
everything for 2022. Also in 2020.
Okay.
Also, oh my gosh, man, that's been, like I said, it's been a long day. I came straight from work, came home to do the podcast. So in 2022, Alan Lazard being one of the, you know, best values, you know, he's still being drafted at wide receiver 36 or below in all the major formats, despite Aaron Rodgers saying all of these things in consecutive months about Alan Lazard. Quote, he's been our dirty work guy for most of his career here. Now he's getting an opportunity to be a number one receiver. I'm not worried about him at all stepping into that role. That's Rodgers on Lazard. Next quote. He hasn't had a ton of opportunities, but ever since his first day here, he's turned heads. Rodgers on Lazard again. Next quote. Who I don't think we need any patience with in camp is Allen. I really think Allen is ready to make that jump to be a number one wide receiver. Again, Rodgers on Lazard. Next quote. Obviously, Alan Lazard is going to step into the number one role. And I think it's going to be a very seamless transition for him. I mean, Rodgers is telling us what the team's going to do. He's telling us what he intends to do. Now, I mean, it could be the biggest smoke show, you know, in the world that doesn't come to fruition. And actually, the history with Rodgers hyping up a guy usually has led to the GM trading that player away, it seems like, in the past. So, I mean, we'll have to see. But when you look at it, I mean, Lazard and Rodgers have had an absolute fire connection. In fact, our RotoViz AYA tool would tell you that amongst wide receivers who have ever played with Aaron Rodgers, Alan Lazard has the second best AYA at a very impressive 10.28 AYA on 151 career targets. The only player to best that AYA with Rodgers is Jordy Nelson. It's not matched by Randall Cobb. It's not matched by James Jones. It's not matched by Devontae Adams. So, you know, the history of the efficiency and the effectiveness of the battery with a high touchdown rate is there. You got Lazard at 6'5", 227, an absolute mountain of a player. So, you know, I think that's what it really comes down to. Now, in his recent article from the other day, Sean had a lot of fun with some bold predictions based off of the preseason weekend. And most of you who are longtime, you know, readers of RotoViz or listeners of RotoViz Radio know that, you know, we're not really big on all the bold prediction hot take stuff. But it is fun when Sean occasionally puts himself into that mindset and writes a little differently than he typically does. And in this kind of hot takey article, you know, he hypothesizes or suggests that Romeo Dubs could lead the Packers in receiving and absolutely just blow it away. Now that's on the strength of him looking really good, mostly with the second team in the first preseason game, though he did get some run with Rodgers. So I think the question with Dubs is, what could it look like if he actually got a legitimate wide receiver two role? Like, what if he stays ahead of Christian Watson on the depth chart? What if he passes Sammy Watkins, who right now, based off of snap share and target distribution in camp, and also Rodgers and Brian Gutekunst's words themselves, is the number two wide receiver. If he can pass those two guys and actually stay on the field as the number two, could he do a better job maybe than Marcus Valdes-Scantling has done over the past couple of years, or than Geronimo Allison did in prior years? That, I think, is what we're playing with, because that's all it really would take for Dubs to be a pretty great value as a rookie. I mean, we've seen multiple seasons in Rodgers' career where he's propped up multiple top 24 guys, and like Lazard smashing and Dubs smashing, you know, those aren't necessarily mutually exclusive scenarios. So while it's super fun to entertain Sean's suggestion, even if that doesn't come true, Dubs could still be a really smart play. And I don't think that he is going to rise to the level of Pacheco just because people have the desperation around the running back position. And there really are so many other wide receiver targets. You know, there's like 50 or 60 guys that you can tell yourself, you know, are pretty worthy of a draft pick selection on your, you know, specific build in any given draft. So Dubs should be a little bit easier to have access to. There's other wide receivers that are rookies that are getting a little bit even more buzzy. And I think the things that George Pickens has done in the past week, you know, probably also help to keep, you know, Dubs a little bit more under the radar. But that, you know, that's, I guess that's really my thing, is I'm for it. But again, you know, do you want to say that when Roger, you said it right in the intro to the segment, you know, Rodgers has not typically given a rookie those looks. Jordy Nelson didn't get those looks as a rookie. Davante Adams didn't get those looks as a rookie. You know, what makes us think that Dubs, who by all accounts is an inferior, of a far inferior prospect to either one of those guys,
yep,
is going to be the one to break the mold other than situation alone? Yeah, I think that's most of my thoughts on Dubs. I mean, what would you have? Do you like him above Lazard? I mean, are we in conflict on this one?
Oh, no. I think that we're very much in the same boat on this one. You know, there was a long stretch where after going through the projection process, I was down more on Lazard's prospects, I think, than I should have been, which is one of those artifacts of that process that I've talked about. But so I'm much higher on Lazard now, where I might not be quite as high as you, but you know, with where I'm seeing him still in drafts now, Curtis, he's going to end up being a very high owned player for me. Dubs doesn't look like he's gotten entirely out of control, but the, you know, one of the questions was a player where the hype isn't matching that profile and, you know, what feels reasonable. And I think he's a case of that. So I think we can move along. Did not expect that we would spend this much time on those two players, right? But, I mean, I think it's well merited, yeah, because sometimes we have to line, yeah, it all out just to make sure that people don't fall into these traps that you can get into when you spend all day on Twitter.
Yeah. What the last thing that I'll say on this is, you know, Sean actually kind of got into Dubs way back in May in a pretty cool article that it was, you know, to Rotoviz heyday, you know, the arbitrage type articles that we would put out every year. You know, he instructs that we should target these discount versions of first round rookie stars. And Dubs actually shows up as a discount version of Christian Watson,
right,
of all people, in his article. But that's a fun one to go back and look at. If you're a Rotoviz sub, of course, you can go back and look at anything that Sean or myself or Dave or anybody else on the site has written at any time. Dave, I'm thinking with how deep we got into this discussion, we should save our, you know, training camp battle quick hitters for the next episode.
Yeah, I think that works for me. So we will look forward to breaking that down and continuing to get through all of this training camp hype and news as it comes out between now and kickoff of the season.
Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us a voicemail at 978-615-9214. And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.